Look at this awesome passage here, given in 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. Look what it says. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This is good news. This is emergency response, a whole rescue plan set up by God for the people of the earth, you and me included. Because not only did God create us, but we say he loves us like no other person in the world does God love us. And thirdly, he has a purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for you. Do you believe that? You're meant for something. You're meant for high purpose, high calling. You are very special. You are the special creation made in the image of God. So this is good. What's good? Good that we would pray. The first part of that passage speaks to that, that there'd be prayer. First of all, I'll go back just a verse or two. I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Be made on behalf of all men. Look what he goes on to say, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And that's what's good and pleases God our Savior. Because God has this in mind. He wants all people to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's a knowledge that's necessary. We need a knowledge about Jesus, and then we need to make him known, make that knowledge known to others, so that they would know him too. Because there's only one God, and there's only, what does the verse say? One mediator. Capture that. This is really important. This is this only responder between God and mankind. It's the man Christ Jesus. He's the one who made the payment to get us released. So, you know, I would want to encourage us to pray. We have these little cards called Seven for Heaven. I think they're available, and you might have picked one up or not, but they're available back here before you leave. You might just want to grab one. Or if you just like to do this on your electronic, you know, means, your phone, smartphone, whatever, and make your list. Seven for Heaven. What people in your life might you be able to pray for? Okay? Now, I'm saying you're getting in between them and God, and you're praying, you're interceding, you're like a responder to help healing come to that person between them and God. You're a spiritual responder even when you pray, interceding for someone else. So seven, who is seven people? Just a number. You can, you know, if you can't fill it all up, I think I have seven on here, of people that I've put down on my Seven for Heaven that I want to pray for as often as possible. We suggest daily, if you can, might put that someplace. Or pray for people. Who is it in your life that you could be in prayer for that would help their come to know Jesus Christ in their lives? Here's Jesus' mission. His mission, recorded in Luke 19 and verse 10. Jesus said this about himself. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Look at that again. The Son of Man came on a search and rescue mission for lost people. That's right. Jesus is a great responder. He's responding to the need for rescue for those who are lost, those who are not reconciled to God, who don't have peace with God, right? So that's what Jesus does. That's what he's about doing. And when he came to the earth, that's what he did. In fact, he just didn't do it alone. He gathered some guys to train them to do that too, right? To train them to be in this responding team, this team that can go out and reach people. And that was his 12 disciples. They were to follow him. First purpose that God wants for you and for me is to know him, to know Jesus Christ. By way of knowing him and who he is and what he's done for us, and then following him, submitting to him in that great plan, rescue operation that God put forth with the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation we call it, then we come into this place of salvation or reconciled relationship with God. But that isn't where we stop. That's the first purpose God wants for each one of us. And if you're not there yet, can I encourage you? Write something on your card before you turn it in today, that connection card, so that we can talk. We can visit about where you are. If you don't feel fully in with respect to knowing Jesus, understanding how he is your mediator between the Father in heaven, God the Father, and you, then please, let's talk. The second purpose God has for each of us is this idea of making Jesus known. He doesn't want us just to keep that knowledge to ourselves about Jesus and that good news of his death, burial, and resurrection for the sin of all humanity. He wants us to share it. He wants us to figure out how to get it out there. He wants us to strategically be responders to needs as they come up in our community, to be in a search and rescue mission with him as he is trying to reach as many people as possible with this good news. That is another grand purpose. That's the purpose by which we've planted this church. Almost 1 year ago, coming up the 1st of October, it'll be one full year that we will have been in existence as the branch. Oh my, why did we do this thing? Sometimes we scratch our heads and say, okay, it's that high purpose to make Jesus known. There's not enough churches to do that, friends. There needs to be more churches with kind of different styles, different personalities. God uses you just the way you are to reach other people that sometimes you can talk to, you can connect with, that somebody else cannot as easily. God uses that. He does that with churches too. We live in an area where there's the church amount of churches is very low per capita. There's 5 churches for every 10,000 people in this area that we're outreached to. That's east of I-205 all the way out through Camas. There's only 5 churches for every 10,000 people. You know what the national average is? 24 churches for every 10,000 people. All of Clark County, if you take the whole county, there's only 7 churches for every 10,000 people. Okay? That's really low. There's a grand need for focused outreach to people who've gotten away from the faith, if they've been raised in it, people who've had some kind of faith experience, but have, you know, gotten away from it in their older years, maybe. There's people who are so busy today they can't fit it into their schedule. They can't fit a faith community into their schedule. Even though often they realize, yeah, faith community would be really helpful to my faith. I'm busy. How many of you are busy? Go ahead and raise your hand. Every one of you are busy, okay? Everybody's busy. We all got stuff we can do. And the world, you know, there's different things in the world that just scream for our attention, and they're all mostly good. It isn't a matter of whether or not church is, you know, other things are good in relation to the church, which we know is good generally. So all, you know, all these things happen. And so we need to be that another church that can do this search and rescue that Jesus has called his disciples into doing. Jesus said this when he called his first disciples, "Follow me and I'll make you," anybody remember what he said? "Fishers of men." Some of them were fishermen, and so he was talking to those guys that were fishing, you know, and trying to net fish. And so, I'm going to make you, you know, fishers of men. And it was a different calling that he was calling them to, or at least in addition to what they were doing, perhaps in the rest of their lives. But he was calling them to follow him for a purpose. Same thing at the very end, before Jesus ascended into heaven. He gave this great, we call, commission. It's a mandate. He's your marching orders. He said, go and make disciples of all people. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey whatever I've taught you, commanded you. And I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. This is because this is what our God is about. Because he cares so much. He's created us and loved us, and he has a purpose for our lives. And so, friends, we take that call seriously here at the branch. This call to make him known, to make disciples, to be fishers of men. And the enemy and forces work against that, because we're talking about taking people from where they are and helping them move into an eternity with God. And so the stakes are huge, and there's spiritual warfare going on to prevent that. Okay? Now, we're coming up on 1 year, and we're going to have some awesome things happen at our 1 year. Let me just share with you what's going to happen. We're going to take the whole month of October, and we're going to celebrate, okay? Celebrate our year one. And we're gonna make things happen. There's going to be this whole month celebrating this milestone. And that's just 3 Sundays away, the beginning of October. We're going to have a community invitation that's going to hit the mailboxes out here. 30,000 homes will get an invitation to the branch to help us celebrate this 1 year. And we're celebrating that we're trying to connect and reach the community and bring value to the community. And so we're going to do that. We'll also be invited to hear a certain series of messages about how we have a longing in our hearts that only God can fill. And we're proposing that to the broad population out here as we invite them. We're going to kick off a children's Kidmo, which is just an exciting video-led children's ministry that's going to happen the beginning of October. And this is something that we were very part of back in our last ministry for 14 years in Albany. Kids love Kidmo! It's just exciting. And hopefully we're going to be able to reach some families that we haven't been able to yet, and Kidmo will be an exciting thing for them. We're going to kick off some groups for all interests, and some of those you can already see in your September calendar there. There's a community harvest party outreach that'll kind of culminate the end of October on the 31st, right? Halloween. Last year, there were over 900 people that stepped through those doors into this room for the community family harvest party. Whoa, that was not what we were expecting. And, you know, so perhaps we'll get some numbers similar to that this year. Last year, it was very rainy, and that tended to be something that people just gravitated toward. So this year, too, is important in the development of a healthy and effective new church body. I can't express that enough to those of you that are here today. Year one, obviously, is very important. We're up and off the ground. We have some traction, right? And we're moving forward, and we're doing some things. It's exciting things that we're going to report on in the month of October for the community to hear as well as us. But year two is pretty important. So I would like to take this Sunday and the next two as what I would call a readiness campaign to prepare ourselves for community people that might come and investigate our church. There's nearly every Sunday we have some brand new people looking us over, trying to figure out if, you know, who Jesus is or what this church is of Jesus. And so this year two, I'm calling this little campaign All In to Make Jesus Known. I think we have All In to Make Jesus Known. All In to Be Responders to Others' Needs Through Serving Them. We're going to talk about that today. To be investors in reaching people that need God. Investors through financial giving. And connectors, connecting people to God, largely through invitations of people in our own lives that we can invite, that we can engage, that might come to some smaller group that we're engaged or interest group that we're involved in, or to services right here on Sunday morning. We need to be prepared for those kinds of things, to be responders, investors, and connectors. I want us to talk about being responders today. It fits with the day, doesn't it? Every hand is needed. You just show me your hand right now. Just throw a hand up. Every one of your hands is needed. Yeah, need every hand. Jesus wants every hand involved. He calls for all in to make his kingdom known. We're going to look at a passage right here that's going to talk about this. And there's a slip with a scripture on there of the passage we're going to look at briefly that illustrates that Jesus is not only a responder, but he wants people to follow him in being God's responders to spiritual needs in our world. Okay? So I'd like you to follow along with me in that passage. As we open up that passage and look closely at what Jesus was trying to do. It says here, and this is Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. It says, as the time approached for him, that's Jesus, to be taken up to heaven. Okay, so he was in his ministry period of time, roughly 3 to 3.5 years. And he knew at a certain point there that, okay, I've got to go get this done. And he knew it was going to happen to him. He was going to have to die for the sins of the world. He was going to be this offering, sacrificial offering, what's called the atonement, a substitutionary sacrificial offering. Up to this time, it had been animals that were sacrificed, right? And their blood was let, they were killed for the sake of the sin. They were the substitute offerings for the sins committed against God. Well, Jesus was going to be this final offering, which would be the only one that really could take away sin. All the others that the people's heretofore had faith in would simply be pointing to the eventual human sacrificial offering. Not just human, get this, the God-man sacrificial offering. The one who created all, Jesus, and gave life to all, as a human, because human sin is what needed to be punished or judgment come upon, not animals. Animals couldn't substitute for human sin. Eventually had to be a human, and Jesus was human as well as God. And so he became that effectual sacrifice. He had no sin, and he could substitute for the sin of all mankind. Which is John the Baptist pointed him out and say, there he is, the Lamb of God, and he pointed to Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, Jesus. Wow. And so Jesus knew that's where he was going. And so what does it say here? Jesus resolutely, this is a pretty important word. This was a dedicated, I've got to do this. He set out for Jerusalem. He says, I am the chief responder. I am the one that's got to get into the danger zone. I am the one that's got to give my life to save humanity. That's what Jesus knew, and that's what he set out to do. And verse 52, he sent messengers on ahead and went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him. Note that. The people there did not welcome him. I'm going to underline that piece. Because he was heading for Jerusalem. And of course, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. They both thought the others were wrong. And so they didn't appreciate Jesus for who he really was. Did that happen today? A lot of people are misinformed, we say around here, about who Jesus really is. Part of our responsibility is to inform them, to make Jesus known, to help them to get it right. That Jesus is your Savior. He's your rescuer. He's the only life giver. But they got it wrong here, and so they, so the disciples, James and John, saw this. They asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? How many of us would be thinking that too? It's like, boom, yeah, And Jesus says, no. But he turned to them and rebuked them. He told us, this is how we're going to handle this. We're going to go on to another village. Perhaps later, some of these people will turn and understand if they've been taught. And later on, by the way, the gospel, we know, went to Samaria. And there were many people, perhaps some of these who rejected him at this point, that later on got better informed and then accepted him. Think about that with respect to people in our own lives that might turn away Jesus. And as they do that, they're turning away you because you're a follower. That someday maybe they will turn, and so we just kind of move on, and we don't have to get back at them if they treat us wrong like they might have treated, in this case, Jesus wrong. There's this urgency and importance of mission that we see here. Jesus is this responder to our needs. God's rescue operation to save humanity is in force, and it still is until Jesus comes again, and not everyone will welcome Jesus. We understand that. Look at verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has, look what it says there, I might have underlined this, no place to lay his head. Okay. It's one thing to say, I'm in. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And then Jesus says, well, this can not be so comfortable. There's a little cost to following me. We don't hang out in the hotels of every city. We sometimes have to just camp. What's he indicating? Probably more than just that. Probably indicating that it might be rough and tough. It might not be the easy life if you follow me. You might have to adjust lifestyles. Some of you have had to adjust your lifestyle to follow Jesus, haven't you? You're here instead of watching. What's the football game on right now? So there's a football game on. I know that. I mean, there's things on. There's things going. There's people that you know. So but you've done some adjustment in order to do this. Others of you are giving financially. That, you know, you could be doing other things with those finances. There's just a variety of ways in which carrying around Jesus might affect our lifestyle. First responders, I don't know, those guys live a different kind of life. If you understand what firefighters do, or you think about the people that are in those first response professional services for us, sometimes it's not so easy for them. And they have to make adjustments to be in that kind of lifestyle, to have that job that meets our needs. Look at verse 59. Look what he goes on to say. And he said to another man, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And I put the emphasis on the texts up here that is listed on the screen. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, well, I'll follow you, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Interesting. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What was this all about? I mean, let's face it. I mean, family's important. And burying our fathers, burying, you know, family is pretty important too. What some believe about this, and there's disagreement on what this could mean. But sometimes when he says, I want to go and bury my father, he says, I can't go with you until things are all settled at home, and I got to kind of wait for my father to pass. Maybe that's 10 years from now. So some think that might mean that here. Others in verse 61, I'll follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. When you say goodbye to your family, you're really looking for permission from your family for you to go. And if your family says, no, I don't want you to go, I need you here. And Jesus is saying, the priority is the kingdom. And yeah, priorities of family, but you know, you're not going to get, if you're going to wait for permission from your family, sometimes your family might not ever let you go because they always need you on the farm. They have things for you, but God is calling you to follow, to become a responder in his kingdom perhaps. And so Jesus is saying here, there's some priorities that have to be worked out as responders for God, isn't he? Chapter 10, verse 1, look what it says. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's a lot of people, he's saying, that are ready. They're ripe. They're low-hanging fruit. If you just talk to them about Jesus, they'll say, yes. Then the harvesters are needed. We've got like four fruit trees in our yard. And Tim knows, who's out picking one last. They're falling on the ground. They're all falling on the ground because no one's harvesting them. Yeah. Tell my wife to go out and harvest them, will y'all? But they need to be harvested. See, and Jesus is saying, look, that's just like people out here in the world. There are people that are ready, but they need to hear about the truth about Jesus. And it takes churches, people, communities of faith that have strategy to go out and get the word out about Jesus, to help people have a better understanding that the church is not a bad thing in our world, or better understanding that Christians are not judgmental, that Christians love people, just like God the Father loves every single soul, and that we want to engage them where they are, how they are, what they're doing, like the first responders, to have them have a church come and say thank you. Perhaps that'll mean something deeper than just, oh, great. You know, maybe there's a connection they'll make to, if some of them don't know God, that maybe there's something they could learn more about God. Well, friends, that's what we're trying to do as a branch. We're trying to do that kind of thing. There's a shortage of help. I went in to give blood last week. And you know there's only 5% of people that give blood? Did you know there's a huge emergency out there for blood right now? The need for blood? Only 5%. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that can't. We understand that. But they told me there's a whole bunch of people that could but don't want to. There's a huge shortage. In other words, there's ability to make up that shortage like that overnight. But they're giving you money to go. They're giving you gift certificates to go give your blood right now. I mean, they want blood so badly they need it, because that's connected to life-saving and operations and such. And Jesus is saying something like that here. There's a need for responders to help in the harvest. Let me just give you a short list here of things that we need right now as we approach people that might be coming, a harvest of people that might be coming, both from our own invitations and from the 30,000 invitations we're sending out into the community. We need some setup and tear down help before and after this service. And you don't have to do both at the same Sunday. You could just be involved in tear down. Like, if you're here, yeah, I'll stay an extra 20 minutes and help tear down before I go. We need some people to come in early and make coffee. We need some refreshment help. We need some more children's ministry helpers. And again, you don't have to do teaching, really, because it's video-driven, so it's really kind of fun, and you actually learn a lot in these Kidmo videos. We need group leaders and facilitators and some things we're going to be doing creatively to try to help people get together. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it might be something you're interested in. We need some pre-service prayer going on. So if you wanted to come in 15 minutes early and just be part of a little group that was doing some praying for what God was going to do as we opened his word up, as we worshiped him in our service, you know, here every day, every Sunday. We've got what we call a WOW team, which is reception ministries that hosts and then follows up as well, people to deliver cookies to first-time attenders. It's going to start to rain. I'm just predicting that. When it rains, you'll say, Dave is a prophet. It's going to rain, and we're going to need some umbrella people, call umbrella ministry, to go out and give umbrella, help people come in from, you know, out in the parking lot into the, you know, with an umbrella. It's great. We need some section hosts, some people that are willing to take a section and say, I'll help and just make people feel welcome in this section of the church, you know, as we set up and such. Things like that, and there's others as well. And there's a dream team table back here, which is all about our ministries and things you can get involved in. We call it shock and awe, all of this technical stuff. It's just way over my head, but we need some people that can understand that stuff and get involved in that. It's just a variety of things that we need, and we need between now and October. And so we're going to be making some phone calls if you're not as involved, and we just want to say, hey, you have any ability to be able to be a little more involved in this or this, and we can schedule you in and be participant. I call you a responder, because when people walk in the door that are brand new, I'm a responder. But they don't sometimes see me until I get up here. But there's other people that greet them, meet them, talk to them, invite them to have something to eat, invite them to involved in one of these things over here. They're all responders. We're all responders, and we need every single person. So we're going to be doing some, you know, in this all-in campaign. We want to get everybody as much in as you're available to be able to be in. I want to close with this story, true story, that happened 15 years ago this morning. This was recorded in Focus on the Family magazine, and it's the author here of this article was Kristen Ditchfield, and it was placed in that magazine about a year after 9-1-1, September 2002, in the title "A Light in the Darkness." It details the actions of Al Braca. Al worked on the 105th floor of Tower 1. And when he realized that they were trapped in the building and wouldn't be able to escape, he shared the gospel with about 50 of his co-workers. They all perished. But enough communication got through before that fatal crash of the towers that it was understood what had happened with those people where Al Braca had worked alongside. And no doubt a bunch of them got saved. He was a likable guy, but he was also, they called him the Rev in his work environment. And they kind of mocked him because he was one of the only ones that had faith in Jesus. Al Braca was a responder, wasn't he? Right alongside of firefighters, police, the other emergency responders that went up to their death trying to save people. Al Braca. He was ready. Friends, I want us as a church to be as ready as we can be for people to walk through this door into this environment or into our group environments that are wondering about Jesus. Is he really the God-man that can save everybody? Is that really true? And we're the ones that carry the truth. We're responsible for that truth to be able to be shared as much as we can. I'd just like you to take out your communication card, if you will. And make sure again, I just would ask that every week you turn this in and make sure at least your name is on it. But on the back side, there's places where you can communicate prayer requests. And we're sending those prayer requests out now onto a list, an email list that you can sign up for and be part of. And you can be praying for other people's prayers at the same time. But I just would like to ask you this morning, as you just consider that for our 40 seconds with our communication card, are you involved as a responder? As I want you to know right now, you are a needed responder, okay? A needed responder. And so I just would ask you, are you all in? You know, so think that through as you're, if you want to respond to me, if you'd like me to come, give you a phone call, or you want to get involved, you know, see the green team, whatever,